And continue to pray for Bonnie's granddaughter, also for Keith. And we thank you already for those prayers that have gone up. And you know, I just want to thank all of you who had a part in the spring plate sale. You know, I'm just proud to be a part of a church that has such hardworking people. And a lot of you, you just sacrificed so much, a lot of your time and energy to make that a success. And just thank all of you so much for all that you do here at Tramway. I'm reading from Paul's letter to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And Paul writes, Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Thosinace, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of his grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in him you have been enriched in every way, in all your speaking and in all your knowledge, because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, is faithful indeed. I was reading the other day about a certain congregation. They decided that they were going to build a new church building. And the building committee, in consecutive meetings, passed the following resolutions. There are four resolutions. Number one, we shall build a new church. Resolution number two, the new building is to be located on the site of the old one. Number three, the material in the old building is to be used in the new one. And number four, we shall continue to use the old building until the new one is completed. When I read that, I thought, you know, kind of sounds like a Baptist church, does it not? Now, it may interest you to know that the word church in the Greek New Testament is the word ecclesia. And originally, the word meant called out ones. And it referred to an assembly of people who were called out of their homes and their places of business to give consideration to matters of public interest. In time, the word church was applied to the followers of Jesus Christ, the body of believers. They were a called out people. They had been called into the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had been called into fellowship and in relationship with one another through him. Someone offered this definition of church, of ecclesia. The church is a body of believers who have been called out from the world by God to live as his people under the authority of Jesus Christ. And together with that, the church has been described as a gathered, scattered community. That is to say, we come together, we gather together for worship and study and prayer and mutual support and encouragement and spiritual nurture and growth. That's why we come together. And then we scatter. That is to say, we go out into the world, the places where you work, in the neighborhoods where we live, in the places where we go to shop or to socialize. We go out into the world to spread the love of God in Christ to others, in our words and in our actions. Now, sometimes this word church, ecclesia, refers to the whole body of believers scattered everywhere throughout the world. But most of the time, the word refers to a local congregation. Indeed, a great deal of the New Testament is made up of letters that Paul wrote to local congregations. As I read just a moment ago, Paul addressed the Corinthians saying to the church of God in Corinth, and in other letters to the church at Cenchrea, to the church in Rome, and to the church at Thessalonica, and so on. And so, in the spirit of Pastor Paul, I want to talk to you this morning about a local congregation, a particular ecclesia, namely the church at Tramway. Now, for those of you who are not members, hopefully what I will say this morning will serve to introduce you to who we are and what we are about as God's people. And to those of you who are members already, it will serve as a refresher, perhaps, a reminder of who we are and what we are about as the people of God at Tramway. Now, first of all, in many ways, Tramway Baptist Church is a typical Southern Baptist church. And what do I mean by that? I mean, first of all, that we believe in salvation by grace. By grace are you saved through faith. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Salvation is found in no one else. There is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And in his commentary, in which he spoke about the love of God, Brian Harbour tells us that the message of God's love is the greatest message of the Bible. It was so great that Paul made it the passion of his life. It was so great that when St. Augustine discovered it, all the darkness and doubt vanished away, and his life was completely changed. It is so great that when John Newton experienced its reality, he left his slave boat and his carnal life, and he became a preacher whose total efforts were committed to this theme. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was blind, I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. And he went on to say that the message of God's love is so great that when Pascal discovered it, he wrote the message down and he sewed it in the lining of his coat, so that he would be constantly reminded that the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob is a God who loves. God, he said, is a God of love, a God whose grace will embrace our lives so that in him we can live and move and have our being. Mark it down. Salvation is an act of grace, God's grace. It is not based on what you can do or what I can do or what anyone can do. but on what God has already done through His Son on the cross. And it is only yours to receive. To say in simple childlike faith, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to forgive me of my sin and to be my Savior. So we believe in salvation by grace through faith. And at Tramway Baptist Church, we believe in the inspiration and the authority of Scripture. The Bible is our basis for faith and practice, what we believe and how we are to live in this world. We believe that this book is special, that it is unique, and that it is God's truth and God's word to men. And that holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And together with that, we believe in what is called soul competency. Dr. E.Y. Mullins articulated this concept 100 years ago. He called it soul freedom or soul liberty, the competency of the individual. And by that he meant that every individual is competent before God by the nature of his creation in the image of God to find truth and interpret truth for himself. It simply means that you as well as I can go to the Word and find truth and understand it and interpret God's truth for yourself under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And to that I would add that soul competency does not mean that we are sufficient apart from God or that we can believe anything we want to believe. It recognizes dependence upon Scripture as the primary means of God's revelation, and it acknowledges Jesus Christ as the fullest revelation of God. And we also believe in the autonomy of the local church. That is to say that the local congregation is the sole ecclesiastical authority, that there is no ecclesiastical hierarchy over a local Baptist church. That means that the Southern Baptist Convention is not a superstructure over the local church. It has no authority over the local church. We alone determine our life, our ministry, as a people of God under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We choose to be part of the Southern Baptist Convention. We agree together on matters of faith and practice, and we agree to work together to accomplish the mission of the church in the world. And I would go on and say that at Tramway Baptist Church, we still believe in congregational authority, not pastoral authority. There are those in Baptist life today who say that the pastor rules the church, that the pastor has been called by God to the church, that he lives closer to God than anyone else, they say. So listen to him, follow him, his leadership. Don't question it. Especially if the pastor comes to you and says, listen, I have prayed about this and this is what God wants us to do. Sometimes that's sincere. I think many times it's just purely manipulation. And that's not us. That's not me. God has called us together to pray together and serve together and find His vision for us and to find it together. And thus at Tramway Baptist Church, we believe that the Lord rules the church through the local congregation, that the final authority rests in the local body of believers, that the local congregation is the place where that authority rests, and that it rests there as that congregation is led of the Lord through His Spirit. And I would go on and say that at Tramway Baptist Church, we believe in the priesthood of the believers. That is to say that each member of the body of Christ, each member of this body, is a priest before God. And that means that you can go to God on your own and share with God your heart, your hopes, your hurts. And it also means that we can go to God for one another and pray for one another and to lift up one another into the presence of God. And we do that again and again. But a priest not only goes to God for himself and goes to God for others, but a priest also goes to the people for God. That is to say, not only the pastor, but lay men and lay women are ministers of Christ. And we go to others for God. And we care for others in the name of Christ. All of us are called to be servants of Christ. All of us are called to be a people who are on mission for Christ in this world. To a world that is lost and a world that is needy, even the world right outside these doors. And what is our mission? It is there on page after page of the New Testament. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. I've set you apart that you should go and bring forth fruit. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Love one another as I have loved you. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus sat down, I think, his ministry and ours when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." The Lord has sent me, the Lord has sent you to minister in His name. And last of all, but certainly not least of all, we believe in the value of the local church. We believe that something vital would be missing if Tramway Baptist Church were not here. We believe that through our programs and our ministries and through our people, Tramway Baptist Church has made and will continue to make a positive difference and a positive contribution to the spiritual and moral health of our community. And our prayer and our desire as God's people here at Tramway is that we might strengthen our church to grow in Christ and continue to do the Lord's work here in this place until He comes. Now, in all honesty, I must tell you that being a typical Southern Baptist church, not every member values the church. Not every member gives himself, herself to strengthen the church and in her mission in Sanford. Every Southern Baptist church, I would guess every church, has those members who are members, but basically inactive. They seldom participate, or they never participate in the life of the church. I don't know why that is. I just know that that's the way it is. And I just know that they could mean so much to the life and to the ministry of the church if they would value the church and love the church more than they do. Several centuries ago, in a mountain village in Europe, a wealthy nobleman wondered what his legacy would be, what he should leave to his town people that they might remember him. And he came upon a decision. He decided to build them a church. No one was permitted to see the plans or the inside of the church until it was finished. At its grand opening, the people gathered and they marveled at the beauty of this new church. Everything had been thought of. Everything was included. It was a masterpiece. But then someone said, "Wait a minute, where are the lamps? It's really quite dark in here, and how will the church be lighted?" And the nobleman pointed them to some brackets that lined the walls. And then he gave each family member a lamp, which way they were to bring with them each time they came to worship. And he said to them, "Each time you are here, the place where you are seated will be lighted. Each time you are not here, your place will be dark. This is to remind you," he said, "that whenever you fail to come to church, some part of God's house will be dark." Well, I guess sometimes it gets a little dark in our church and in other churches. And thus in our community. But I can tell you this. For the most part, most of our members love this church and value this church and are doing all that they can to make this church a growing, loving, serving fellowship in Christ. If you're not a member, I hope what I've said about us sounds like your kind of church. And I invite you to join us and make Tramway Baptist Church your church and all that this church can be in this community. And if you're already a member, I have a word for you from that great American poet and writer, Carl Sandburg. Here's what he said to the church. "Most of us agree that Protestants have never hammered very hard on the duty of going to church. We have said all the time it is necessary for the church to make itself attractive and interesting so people will want to come." But then he went on to say, "There are obligations on the part of the people not to sit at home listening to the radio or watching television. That is too easy. Do something difficult. Go through rain and snow. You have to feel that you are part of the greatest organization on earth, one that is going to outlast all of the rest of them. You've got to tell the importance of your own individual participation in its life. You can't go tramping around from church to church and fulfill your obligation. You have to settle on one church and throw your life into it and fill it up. Who would want to go to a picnic all the time and eat out of other people's baskets? It is our obligation as members of one church or another to give ourselves to it. It is the only hope of peace and goodwill to men that exist among us. It is the church and its Savior, its Prince of Peace, who offer such high and holy opportunity. Support it with your undeviating loyalty. And I can only pray that God will give us ears to hear, and He will give us the will to respond. And may we have a heart for God and a heart for His church. Our hymn of invitation this morning is a 305, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." And I invite you to come this morning, to come and receive Christ as your Savior. I invite you to come and unite with His church by letter, by statement, by baptism, to recommit your life to Him, to being all that He's calling you to be, as we stand and sing.